I'm Katya Gordon, doing a weekly check-in with Greg Ruberg, Lakeview Clinic and Hospital CEO. Thank you so much, Greg, for checking in. Good morning.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And let's see. We've been doing this for many, many months now, and we've been talking about the same things, but things do change. And we're looking at the vaccine now with everyone's looking at it with certainly very intense interest. I know there are listeners who have been waiting for your interview this morning. I don't know if you have any big news for us or how you want to update on the vaccine.
Yeah, we can start by talking about some new developments on the vaccine. I did post an update, a more comprehensive update on our Lakeview Hospital Facebook page yesterday, but I will hit on a couple of things I think that are of significance. So the first one is, we continue to plan and work with Lake County Public Health and our regional coalition and MDH on vaccine allocation and really timelines of when we're going to get it. So the good news is we have had an allocation of vaccine in Lake County that supported the 1A vaccination process. So frontline workers, all of the stuff that we've talked about in the past. So you know that will be wrapping up here by the end of the month, and we'll be confident that almost everybody in phase 1A that wanted it will get that. And so I think that's both dose one and two. So that's going well. A couple of new developments that were happened last week was the first one was on Thursday. A press release came out that really changed the guidance that was being planned for. So prior to that press release, there were different age groups that were eligible for COVID-19 vaccination. Again, when the doses arrived, we don't have them yet. But it was age 65 to 74 was one group. And then it was age 75 and older was another group. And there's some other kind of specifics in there. But what happened in the press release is that Minnesota just changed course pretty quickly and said anybody age 65 or older is eligible for vaccine. So as you can imagine, our phones start ringing off the hook here at the hospital and the clinic and just like everywhere else in the state, people saying, well, great, I'm eligible now. I want to get it. Well, we don't have it. And so we were at that time working through the rest of phase 1A. So that was, and I think that's good. I think it having a more broad category allows us to vaccinate more people. It's less complex. There's less kind of confusion to work through from the public standpoint. So when we get the vaccine, I think it will be good. The second thing that happened was this week, the MDH sent out another press release and said, this one came out on January 19th, that they established 9 community vaccine pilot clinics around the state. And so really, what that was designed to do was two strategies or two kind of goals with that. Number one was to vaccinate health education staff, so teachers and support staff in the schools. And then the other piece was age 65 and older. So my understanding was that the doses that were sent to those 9 sites were split 50-50 between kind of the education bucket and the age 65 and older bucket. There were very limited vaccine. And you had to register online or by calling. And then the challenge for us in Lake County was the nearest one was in Mountain Iron, Minnesota, up near Virginia. And so, and that was the nearest one to Cook County and Lake County. So we knew that a handful of education staff from Lake County were awarded spots, you know, not very many, but some. And so all of them, in theory, would have to drive separate vehicles from their home from here to Mountain Iron because of social distancing guidelines and those kind of things.
Right.
The other challenge was you could go back and you had to get your second shot there as well. So we knew people from Cook County and Lake County and elsewhere were going to Mountain Iron. The good news is they could get the vaccine. There's maybe some challenges that certainly could be overcome.
So the bottom line is there are vaccine sites and people are getting vaccines who have managed to get to be, you know, essentially first in line in the categories listed. And it is somewhat cumbersome right now for us out here on the North Shore to get our vaccine just because it's a far drive away. Is that kind of the summary of the situation now?
It is. And I think, you know, to help, I've had, you know, hundreds of questions over the last couple of weeks, you know, from at work and also in the grocery store and other places. And so people have asked, so why would they do a Mountain Iron site and not a Lake County site, or why would they do one in Duluth? What was happening prior to this press release, and again, this was news to us as well, but what was happening prior is the state was allocating vaccine through 3 different channels. One was through the kind of the healthcare coalitions across the state. So we belong to the Northeast Coalition. They would get an allocation of vaccine. Some would go to Ascensia, some would go to St. Luke's, some would go to Fairview Range in Hibbing, then they would distribute that out to the spoke sites around the area, and then we would work to vaccinate. And that was working, I think, very well. It was, you know, it was being built, and it was going very smooth. I think it was fine. Then you had a separate process where local public health was getting it directly from the state through MDH, and that was going fairly well. And then you had a third one, which was the vaccine being allocated to the pharmacy partnership programs, which were supporting congregate care facilities, like skilled nursing facilities. I think that there was some push across the state to get this out to the general public because other states were doing this, and I think there's all in the allocation at the federal level was dependent on this. So that was kind of a quick change of direction. So now what we're trying to figure out is, what strategy are we using? Are we using both? Is it going to shift back to hub and spoke, or is it going to go through the community model? And I'm not able to answer that question. I just don't know yet.
Okay, you anticipated my question. Is do you see these plans merging in any way? Or it sounds like there are different things going, and just like at the beginning of COVID, there's just going to be some scrambling while the state figures out. And then, one question I have heard over and over this week also is the vaccines are coming from a federal source. Is that correct? So that, you know, whatever our state gets, that's the number we have to work with. And it may or may not be the same as the numbers in other states, but that's the number we have to work with. And then from there, the state needs to figure out how to allocate it in this complex way that you've described.
Yeah, so I'll share what I know and also share what I don't know. So I know that the federal allocation gets sent out to all 50 states. So there's some process, which I don't know any details about, but X amount of vaccines will come, for example, to Minnesota. And then the Minnesota Department of Health and I think the governor and others, there's a task force that looks at their numbers and then previously was allocating that out to those coalitions and the pharmacy partners and local public health. So I don't know how many vaccines the state gets each week or each month. That's not shared publicly, even with us in healthcare. So what we know is how many the coalition gets. So, for example, I know how many come into the Northeast Coalition. We know how many Essentia gets, how many St. Luke's gets, and how many Fairview gets, and then how each organization gets allocated. And I think it's been a fair process. I think it's been transparent on that level. The hard part, I think, for us, at least this week, was when the state pilot sites happen, there's only so much vaccine. We all know it's very limited. And my understanding is that the allocation that was coming to the coalition and to local hospitals and health systems and probably even public health got redirected to the community sites. So that vaccine had to come from somewhere. So I don't know how from the federal to the state it got there. But when those things ramped up or those sites ramped up, we were told we have zero vials coming in week six. So we were just basically dried up. Where before we were seeing weekly allocations coming in to support the phase that we were planning for. That may change. And there's been all this talk now, too, about the kind of the national stockpile is depleted or it's not. We thought there was some being held in reserve at the state for second doses. That's unclear at this point. So what we've done here, and there's been all kinds of different guidance on this, is we've held the second doses for our phase 1A frontline healthcare workers. Because it's a two-dose shot 3 weeks apart, we hold that in our ultra-cold storage to make sure that we can fully vaccinate our healthcare staff. What we've been told now is that when you get vaccine in, you just give it quickly. You get it out the door, so get it in people's arms, which is great. But we don't know is there's our guarantee that they will get their second injection in 3 weeks if it's Pfizer, or 4 weeks if it's Moderna. And we don't want to be a hospital that vaccinates people with one dose, and then call them back in 3 weeks and say, sorry, you're not going to get your second dose.
Right.
But we also don't want to hold vaccine in cold storage, waiting for a guarantee the second dose will be there because we're not helping with vaccination. So there is no good answer. I think it's appropriate and responsible for us to hold second doses for healthcare workers to make sure that a physician and a nurse and a frontline person gets their second dose. When we get into other groups, I think to wait 3 weeks to hold doses is probably not the right way to do it. We have to trust and hope that, you know, further or additional doses will be coming in. So, again, I wish I had an easy answer. I just don't.
Well, thank you, Greg, for your forthrightness once again. I just, we're in the middle of this, and it just sounds like we need to sit tight and be patient and make a call if we think we might get a vaccination. I would hope that in the coming weeks, things will be simplified and clarified. And I guess that's what we all hope.
Yeah, and I think it just goes back to me kind of kind of a similar experience when COVID testing rolled out across communities. It was, you know, the very similar process with, you know, things were changing rapidly. We were kind of evolving and adapting week by week, and there was confusion. But eventually we got to a point that testing is pretty stable and pretty predictable now and more widespread, more available. And I certainly hope we'll get there with vaccine as well. What I would promise to the listeners, and I you know, I've had, again, probably 50 questions about in the last couple of days about this, is we will get the information out. So if we get 200 doses in four, we don't have it now, but if we get 200 doses in, let's say next week, and we open up to age 65 and older, we will publish and communicate that and write about that in many, many different channels. So I guess I would reassure people that you're probably not going to be missed or miss your opportunity. It'll be on the radio, it'll be in the newspaper, it'll be on our Facebook page, it'll be in handouts in every single waiting room at Lakeview. We'll ask people to share it on Facebook. And so I think what I'm hearing from people is they want to get on a waiting list to make sure they don't miss a communication. And I encourage people just to follow the Lakeview Facebook page. Everything will be up there in real time as we get it. So in Lake County, we'll do the same with public health. We don't want to keep a waiting list because it just creates more confusion and frustration, and equity issues come up. And so once it's ready, we'll post it and people can start making appointments.
Sounds good. And we don't have to wait for Friday to announce it on the radio either. So I'm sure we will be as in the loop as we can be with that. Thank you. Now, a couple quick updates. We usually review the numbers. Do you have anything to tell us about the numbers of actual COVID positive people in Lake County?
Yeah, so this is some actually really good news to report again this morning, kind of like last week. So as of yesterday, we added 3 new cases. That brought our total to 660 from the start of recording. Right now, we have 34 active cases in Lake County. Hospitalizations countywide are still at 25 total, and our total death rate since we started recording this is at 15. And so, again, you know, we saw a day of 11 cases come in. You know, I think one day in our clinic, out of the first 8 people we tested, 6 came back positive. That was unusual, but again, you know, that was a high day. But again, yesterday at 3 was encouraging, and so things are stable. Pressure on the hospital is less. Pressure on the clinic is less. ER pressure is less. So I think we're at a good point, at least now, right now.
Great. And then one final addendum question about influenza. We heard a lot about that in the fall and the flu shot. And, you know, I've been watching people and, of course, myself, like just wearing masks everywhere and feeling pretty darn healthy, wondering about the flu this winter, what you could tell us about that.
This has been a really interesting question. It's something I've really been thinking about and trying to research and better understand. So we have not had a confirmed case of influenza here this year, and that just seems really odd that we're getting into the end of January, and so why is that? I mean, so there's a couple things that we think, and of course, there's one is we have universal masking in public areas. I think certainly will help any respiratory illness or virus, so we know that helps. We are limiting big gatherings, so there's no big group settings where we're doing an event or sharing food or those kind of things. So I think that's helpful. I think, you know, again, people are maintaining distance even when we're in the workplace. And so there's just less apt to transmit a virus that way. I think people are being hyper-vigilant about hand washing and kind of other infection control practices because we're thinking we want to prevent COVID. And by default, we're preventing the flu. I can tell you in past years, people were careful, but they were like, well, the flu just wasn't as big of a concern as COVID. But I think when you look at the big ones, it's really the big events and the masking. And then I think the other piece is we went to a mandatory influenza vaccination policy across our system this year. Our Ascension's had that for a number of years. I mean, so there's more and more healthcare workers being vaccinated and more people chose to be vaccinated this year as well. And again, it's hard to tell exactly what impact that has right now, but it's certainly overall, everything that we're doing is having a positive impact on flu cases and hospitalizations.
Is it too much to hope that, I mean, we've talked before about the other things that people can do to stay healthy. I know that all the skis, skates, permits are all, even seed buying for gardeners is all sold out this winter. I know that I've looked at articles that speak about vitamin C and mushrooms and various immune builders. Is it possible we're also just getting a little bit healthier? Maybe that's almost too much to hope for, but that stuff should all have an impact as well.
I certainly think there's some connection, or hopefully a correlation, to behaviors, you know, positive health behaviors and overall health and wellness. I agree. I think people are continuing to work out. They're outside hiking and doing a lot of things like that. The other benefit is we've had a very nice winter, so I think people have been more active and just not spending a lot of time indoors in large groups, which we probably do most other winters because there's limited other options.
Right. It definitely makes one think about what can be kept indefinitely with COVID precautions. Not at all to say we don't want to have weddings and funerals, of course, but what realistically can we do that would help always? So that's just an interesting thing to think about. Thank you so much, Greg, for checking in. That was very thorough, and we will talk to you again next week.
That's great. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Greg Ruberg, CEO of the Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.